Back now with Day to Day and our old friend and former Day to Day host, Alex Chadwick. In September of 2007, he took a trip to Kansas City, and there he discovered an unexpectedly gruesome slice of history. Here's Alex.
You want a soundtrack for The Mob? How about this? Or perhaps you prefer the Corleone family to the Sopranos. Or, well, how about this?
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
Yeah, Kansas City is gangland. Maybe it's a cultural hangover from frontier days, but there is a history here of very bad guys, and it's the subject of a bus tour that begins right here, out in front of Union Station.
All right, welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing today? How are you?
Great.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming on. How you doing, Toots?
This is the way we do things in Kansas City. You're going to hear that expression a lot this afternoon.
That's Johnny Holiday in a gangster-cut 20s-era pinstripe suit and fedora. Okay, actually, it's Tim Phillips, a 36-year-old actor who adopts the wise guy persona to lead these tours.
Now, when we think of Prohibition and we think of gangsters and we think of the 1920s, what's one name that usually comes to mind?
Al Capone.
Al Capone, that's true. Right up here is the Riga building, ladies and gentlemen, where Al Capone used to stay, among other places, when he came here to Kansas City.
Oh, and there's the Bella Reeve building where Mr. Capone used to throw those gangster parties with entertainers like Frank Sinatra and Liberace. And there's the Hotel President. It used to have a popular speakeasy with an underground entrance to tunnels. Used to smuggle in the bootleg booze. And 12th Street, where a gambler named Slicey Solly Weissman coined a colorful gangland term.
We're taking this guy for a ride. He's the guy who came up with that concept.
Yeah, if you're a mob nut, Kansas City is a very happy place to be, and there are mob nuts.
It dawned on me that there had never been any really good treatment of the history of organized crime in Kansas City, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Terrence O'Malley, a local attorney, a reformed journalist, an amateur mob historian at work on a Kansas City gangland documentary. This is the town coming through the Depression, he says.
Kansas City's mafia was so closely connected with politics during its formative years.
The big boss was Tom Pendergast, once a city councilman for Kansas City, Missouri. He left office, but he held on to power. He understood getting people together to recognize and work on common interests. Mob guys from Sicily, say, with the Democratic Party, sure. Maybe he wasn't personally running for office, but Tom Pendergast won a lot of elections, and gangland politics, Terrence O'Malley says, was thriving.
He purposely made sure that the police were underpaid so that they would take bribes, so that they would leave the bars, the saloons, the speakeasies alone.
Through Prohibition, it was very easy to buy a drink in Kansas City or buy company for an evening out on the town, which could be a very good time.
It's the music, baby.
Mob nut Terrence O'Malley.
God, this was just a party in town because of the great tunes that were coming out of this town. And so that's just another thing that made it a raucous, wild, fun place to be. It was known as a wide open town.
When liquor was legal again, the old speakeasies turned into bars and nightclubs, but the mob guys hung around. By the 70s, a seedy-looking neighborhood called River Key was a violent place in Kansas City. Charles Gray was a reporter on the crime beat.
Nick Spiro was killed and left in a car trunk. David Bonadonna was killed. John Brocato was found in a car trunk, been frozen, tortured, and strangled. Then Johnny Omero, known on the streets as Johnny Green. A little later, Sonny Bowen. A group of guys shot and killed him at the table, shot Carl Spiro in the back, severed his spinal cord. He was paralyzed for life, but life wasn't very long for him because they got him with a bomb later in his wheelchair. They have some quaint ways of dealing with each other.
Okay, but the Kansas City mobsters who did survive, they were doing great. They ran a skimming operation in Las Vegas casinos. Martin Scorsese later based his Vegas mob film on it.
They had so much money in there, you could build a house out of stacks of $100 bills. Now that suitcase was going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
And in the end, that pretty much was the end, because the FBI eventually broke the skimming operation and rolled up most of the Kansas City mob. They went to jail. The city got respectable. The music is still here, says Terrence O'Malley, but the mobsters are gone. And he almost sounds regretful when he says it. But then I ask a former FBI man, are they really, really gone? And he mutters something under his breath and turns away to study the neighbor's yard. Kansas City Gangland, produced by Sarah Spivak.
That, of course, the great Alex Chadwick reporting from September 2007, dabbling in mob nuttiness.